Good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to you all. I've got two announcements. Before the announcements, thank you so much for coming forward and sharing. Keith, for praising God. I know for some of us that's challenging sometimes to come forward and speak in public. But I do want to encourage you to continue to do that. So praise God for that. And then for Brother John for sharing and reminding. I saw the article, but it is a wonderful thing that the Pope has announced. I'm not sure what the implications of that would be in terms of how it would actually work out, but I'm very grateful. And you'll see our series, I don't want to get into that yet, but so thank you for sharing, for coming forward. And then two announcements. The first announcement is to deal with December on the 13th and 14th of December. That's the Saturday and Sunday. On the 13th, we're having our Christmas Carol sing-along, and we will also have two guests. They will come and sing and have some original songs as well. So I want to we'll tell you the exact time in the weeks to come. So that's on the 13th, the Saturday. It'll probably be in the it will be in the evening. It will be probably 5 or 6, but we'll confirm that. And then on the 14th, we will not have a worship service in this building. We will be gathering with other believers at Huguenot High School. There's an initiative that many of the churches in Wellington will be coming together to pray and worship together. So we will have our worship service at Huguenot. Again, the time, we will indicate it. So we are in our November series on the Great Reformation Truths. And I think that's why I wanted to speak about what the Pope had said, but I will speak about that when we come to that part where we speak of Christ's all-sufficiency, Christ alone, that our salvation is by Christ alone. And that was one of the things that the aspects of our faith that the Reformers highlighted. And there's been a lot of opposition to that from the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope having now come forth and saying that salvation indeed is through Christ and Christ alone is a wonderful return to truth. So we are dealing with the five solas. And it has to deal with different aspects of our faith. That I started off with, which is normally when the solas are spoken about, given last, but everything is for God's glory. And we speak of sola scriptura, only scripture, that scripture is the final authority for all believers. We speak of only, we are saved only by faith. And that only by Christ, that and through God's grace. So sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, soli Christus, and only for God's glory, soli Deo gloria. Initially we may think that these are dusty slogans from the 1500s when the Reformation came about. But when you look at them, and that's what I'm hoping to accomplish, you will see that these solas are guards around the gospel, anchors for the soul, and bright lights that lead to Christ. And so the sola we come to today is sola fide, through faith alone. If you were to ask Apostle Paul, how can a sinful human being stand righteous before a holy God? He would take you directly to Romans 3, from verses 21 to 31. This seems to me to be the mountain peak of his theology. It's the very heart of the letter to the Romans. And I believe it's one of the most urgent aspects of the gospel, the message that the church needs today. You see, because unfortunately, many Christians or many people that have grown up in the church live with confusion, even fear or bondage, simply because we do not understand what faith is. I mean, if I were to ask you, what is faith? Are you able to give a sensible answer to someone who has not grown up in the church, doesn't know Christ? Because you see, we need to understand what faith is and how God uses faith to justify sinners. So this morning, let us allow Paul, we let Paul define what faith is for us. And we will see that the righteousness we need, the righteousness that God requires, is a righteousness that God Himself provides. And so we receive this righteousness not by performance or through works, not by effort, but by faith alone. For as long as humans have been around, we have tried to reach God. And we've often imagined salvation like climbing a ladder. And if you climb high enough, if you try hard enough, eventually you may reach God. And many Christians also live this way, always climbing, always striving, always exhausted. But the gospel in Romans announces something different, something radically different. You see, God comes down the ladder in Christ. We do not go up. We do not climb our way up. It is God through Jesus Christ that descends to us. And this is the essence of sola fide, faith alone. It's not works, not performance, and it's definitely not moral improvement, being a better person. So let us walk into Paul's argument and see how God justifies sinners. Don't take offense at the word sinners. You comfortable to say it? Sinners. When somebody calls you a sinner, do you? That's what the Bible says. Sinners. So, let's see how God just justifies us, not through the ladder of human effort, but through the cross of Jesus Christ. So turn with me, or you can see on the screen, Romans chapter 3 from verse 21 to 31. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord. So we see in this passage, the gospel reveals a righteousness from God. And so Paul begins with this, but now. This but now gives us great, it's probably the most hope filled words in Scripture. But now, for three chapters, Paul has shown that Jews and Gentiles alike stand guilty before God. But now, But now God has intervened. But now a new way has been opened. But now hope has appeared. And so we read, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. So Paul is saying there is a righteousness that you cannot produce, that you cannot do, but God can. There is a righteousness that you cannot earn, but that God gives. There is a righteousness that you do not deserve, but God provides. And so when we look further, we see that verse 24 explains this when he says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So, what does justified mean? It's very important to understand this. To justify does not mean to make someone better. To make someone morally better. That is sanctification. That is the ongoing work of the Spirit. When we are transformed, we become better people. Sanctification. But to justify is really a legal declaration. Justification is God legally declaring us righteous because of Christ. It means that God declares the sinner righteous, not because of our or the sinner's righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness credited or given to them, to us. And so you stand before God not in, as the Bible describes it, in our filthy rags, but we stand before God clothed in Christ's perfection. This is the gospel. This is what it means to be justified. A legal declaration. Nothing about being better. Nothing about actually having changed. Just justified. So the gospel that Paul is proclaiming and writing about is reveals a righteousness from God. And then we see that this righteousness that he reveals in the gospel is received through faith. Paul says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's in verse 22. This righteousness is given by faith, or through faith, by all who believe. To all who believe. And again, this is sometimes where we become confused. What exactly is faith? Just this week I heard somebody ask that question. And very often we turn towards Hebrews and look at Hebrews 11 verse 1 and we would quote that scripture. But what is faith? Some think faith is trying harder. Some think faith is positive thinking. Or that faith is moral effort. I think we need to look at this deeper. We really need to dig deeper on this point. Why? Because Paul is talking about the very instrument, faith, that God uses to save us. So we need to know what it is and be able to articulate it. We need to be able to say what it is confidently. What is faith? Well, faith involves at least three things. It involves knowledge. You must know who Jesus is and what he has done. You see, faith is not just ignorant emotion. Rather, faith is rooted in truth, in the evidence revealed in Scripture. So it involves knowledge. But it also involves assent, agreement. You have to have faith, you have to agree with what God says. There's a couple of things you have to agree with. You have to agree about your sin. You have to agree about Christ's sacrifice and about God's promises. But you see, knowledge, the first point, and agreement is not enough. Because even demons have knowledge about God, that God is one, and they agree that God is one, God is there. They have both, but knowledge and agreement is not enough. Faith also involves trust. So there's knowledge, there's that agreement or assent, but there's also trust. And this is the essence of biblical faith. Faith is not believing in yourself. It's not believing in belief. Faith is not doing your best and hoping that God does the rest. So if I do what I can do, God will take care of the balance. Faith is personally resting in Christ alone for this righteousness, for the righteousness that comes from God. In other words, it's taking your hands off your own efforts. It's not trying to get saved by what you do. It's putting the full weight of your salvation on Jesus Christ. And I suppose a good way to illustrate it, something that we use almost every day. I don't think there's a day I don't use a chair. Faith is like sitting on a chair. Now, you can examine it. You can talk about it. You can even admire it. But you're not trusting the chair until you put your full weight on it. You see, saving faith is not admiring Jesus. Or even believing that he exists. Or believing that he died on the cross. Faith is relying on him alone for your salvation. Putting your trust in him. In other words, faith says, Christ is enough for me. Not faith and works, not faith and feelings, not faith and rituals, not faith and a great amount of sincerity. Faith in Christ alone. Because Christ alone saves. And this is exactly what Paul means in verse 28. He says, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Another way of looking at faith is that faith is the empty hand that receives Christ. And faith is how righteousness is received. Received, not achieved. You see, faith does not contribute merit. All that faith does is it clings to Jesus. It rests on him, in him. It is on the cross that God's justice and mercy meet, at the cross. God presented Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice, at the cross. You see, at the cross, God remained just, punishing sin fully, to the full extent. So he's not only the righteous judge, he's also the justifier, declaring sinners righteous. It's like being rescued. If you're drowning and a rescuer jumps in, lifeguard jumps in, well, you contribute nothing to being saved except the need to be saved and not fighting the rescuer. Because that sometimes happens. If you ever try to rescue somebody and they're fighting you in the ocean, it's a difficult business. You contribute nothing to being saved except the need to be saved. In the same way, Christ does all the saving. Faith, all faith does, it clings to the Savior, clings to the rescuer. And then Paul goes on. He says, if salvation is by faith alone, then where is boasting? Boasting dies. In other words, my heritage, when he's speaking to the Jews, the Jewish heritage with all the promises and the long history of covenantal relationship with Yahweh, our ethnic identity, all of that. There's no boasting in anything. Even today, some people have such great pride in their denominations. The way we do things is the best way. In fact, it's the only way. But faith leaves no room for pride, because faith points away from ourselves towards Christ. It should always be doing that. But the other thing is that faith is that faith is never alone. Faith that justifies, the empty hand that receives, that faith is never alone. Paul defends the unity of God's saving work for both Jew and Gentile. For both those who have a history with the covenantal God, Yahweh, creator of the universe. But he makes it clear, faith establishes the law, meaning that true faith leads to obedience. And so when you read James, faith without works, James says, is dead. It's not that you need faith and works to be saved, so you need works as well. No, the kind of faith you need results in obedience. So we are justified by faith alone. But the faith that justifies is never alone. And so how do we apply this? We can rest in Christ's finished work, not in our performance. In fact, I've gone maybe to the other extreme where I've had to, and so I almost want to add a corrective. Remember at some point I told you, you don't have to come to church? Do you remember that? Or so some people took me seriously, they didn't come. Because church doesn't save you. Being here on a Sunday morning doesn't save you. But one of the results of having come to faith is a desire for regular instruction in God's word, regular fellowship with believers, worshiping together with others. So rest in Christ's finished work, not in performance. And that's true, and I should... But you see, when you see the result of people not coming to church, it's not good. But I'd rather have people be saved and understand salvation and not come to church. Your assurance is not in how strong your faith is. Your assurance is in how strong your Savior is. So don't think you need this special, strong faith to be saved. Faith is the empty hand that receives what Christ has done for us. And so let faith lead you to a joyful trust. Faith doesn't grow by focusing on ourselves, but by looking at Christ, by looking at the Savior. And so how do we apply it? By living a life of grateful obedience. Again, not to earn God's obedience, not to earn God's love, because you already have it through Christ. You already have God's love. You can't earn it. Allow me to conclude. This is probably that aspect of the Reformation. We can say that by faith alone. It's the heart of the Reformation. Five solas are, but it's the heart of the gospel. You see, some of us are so exhausted from trying to be righteous, ticking all the boxes. And some of us are weighed down by guilt because we find we can't always tick those boxes when we feel they should be ticked. And some of us are living under the lie that we must earn God's favor by what we do or what we give. But you are justified by grace through faith. Because of Christ. As I've said, faith is simply the hand that takes hold of the Savior. You don't add an empty hand. And so I want to encourage you to come to Him. The Savior. Come to Him. Trust Him. Rest in Him. This is the faith that justifies the ungodly, that justifies people that are separated from God. Justifies them and makes us children of God. Lord, I want to ask that you would help us to understand what faith is and how we can be in right standing in righteousness before you. Lord, I've spoken the words, but you need to apply it. You need to open our hearts and our minds to receive what is truly spiritual revelation. And so as Paul has revealed your word and your gospel, Lord, may we be able to receive it. Lord, may this bring about a great harvest in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name. I want to ask for those of you who've not yet put your trust in Jesus, or you want to be sure, I want to ask that you just come and sit in front here, and I'll speak to you afterwards, after the service, but that you just come and sit so we can discuss some of it. If you're not 100% sure, you want to clarify certain issues, I'm just going to have a chat with you afterwards. So I won't be greeting anyone at the door. If you do want to speak to me afterwards, please just hold on a few minutes. There's tea and coffee as well. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you for your amazing grace and your wonderful love. Thank you, Lord. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts and minds. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.